Okay, we're up to Perakud Beis. Perakud Beis. Okay, so at the end of the last Perak, or I should just say the last Perak, Shmuel basically completed coronating Shaul as the king. Shaul defeated Nachash. He defeated this the Ammon nation, and everyone essentially universally recognized Shaul as the new king. So now that we have the new king, and the new king has been universally accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, so now Shmuel says, I have one piece of unfinished business that I'd like to discuss with you, the Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Shmuel al kol Yisrael. So Shmuel gathers all of Bnei Yisrael together and he says, Shamati b'kolchem l'kol asher amartim li. I listened to your voice, your voices. I listened to everything that you told me. Va'emla va'amlich aleichem melech. And I appointed a king over you. I appointed a king over you. Now you can already see, you know, where this is headed. You can already see where this is headed. And as the Mitzudas David explains, that Shmuel is telling them, you know, I want to give you some Musar. I want to give you Musar. Musar about this request for a king. The people are not living this down. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to them, he gave in, Shaul is appointed, but Shmuel says, but still, the request was still not a good request, and therefore I'm going to give you Musar, I'm going to give you rebuke for the request, but I had to wait until now. Why? Because before I appointed the king, if I gave you Musar, then you would think, he's only giving us Musar to discourage us, because he doesn't want us to have a king. So you're not going to listen to me. So therefore, says Shmuel, I waited. I waited until HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. The king was appointed. So you know it's here. It's here to stay. I'm not undoing it. But I just want to now give you a little Musar, give you a little rebuke, that the request that you made was not a good request. It was not a kosher request. So he doesn't say that yet. He doesn't say that. But he essentially is going to warn them that they've got to behave themselves. Now the Malbim says that when they asked for a king, they sinned in two respects. Number one, they sinned against Shmuel. Why? Because Shmuel was the leader. He was the Shofet. The Shofet is the judge. So he was the one that oversaw court cases, justice in Bnei Yisrael. And now, who's going to do that? The king. So they're taking that authority away from Shmuel. So that's one aspect of the sin. The second aspect, of course, is against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they're replacing the Malchus Shamayim with Malchus Basar Vadam. So that's the two elements of this sin. And therefore, says the Malbim, that first Shmuel begins by rebuking them for his kavod. For his kavod. And he says that, according to halacha, I really did not have to listen to you. Why? Because a shofet is not demoted. A shofet is not replaced unless he does something wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. So therefore, api halacha, there was no reason for me to be demoted. And therefore, says Shmuel, I could have appointed a king over you just over the military aspect. He could be the king, and he could be the commander-in-chief, and lead you into battle and everything like that, and I would retain the judicial branch. Right? He would be the military, and I would be the judiciary, and I would still be the shofet. I would still judge all of your cases, and api halacha, I was entitled to that, and I could have done that, even giving you your request, I could have done that. But nevertheless, no, shamati b'kolchem l'kol asher amartim li. I listened to you 100%. I didn't do this pshara, this compromise that I was really entitled to do. I listened to you 100% and gave you the king outright to rule over the military, to rule over the justice, to rule over everything. Yeah, so he's going to get to the Kavod of Hashem.
Because they said, Right. Before it was talking to
Fred. Well, correct. Yeah. Yeah. But they're replacing. They're replacing the king with replacing the Melech Malchi Amlochim with the Melech Basar Adam. Okay. Pasuk Beis. Ve'ata hinei haMelech mishalech lifneichem. And now, says Shmuel, the Melech is going to go before you. He's going to lead you out into battle. Vani zakanti vosavti. And I'm old. Vosavti. Savti is from the language of seva. Mipnei seva takum. Also referring to old age. Seva, I think, is even a little bit more advanced than zikna. Uvanai. Well, we will. We'll talk about that. Uvanai hinam yitchem. And my sons, they're with you. Va'anihi salachti lifneichem. And I walked before you minu'urai ad hayom azeh. From when I was young until today. So what is this saying? So Joe just asked, you know, do we know how old Shmuel is? So Shmuel dies when he's 52 years old. Right? We discussed this back in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Navi, but the Gemara does say that. The Gemara in Tainus talks about it. It says Shmuel dies when he was 52. And it's a cheshbon, it's a calculation based on the number of years and Eli and the Aron. It's a complicated cheshbon to get to the fact that Shmuel died when he was 52. But that's what Chazal say. He died when he was 52. Now the Gemara has an interesting thing. You know, it says here, Vani zakanti vosavti. So the Mefarshim will ask, you know, Zakanti, I mean, 52, right? 52 is not that old, right? 52 is not that old. So why is he saying Zakanti Vasafti? Old ageism? Oh, okay. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Tainus says, I think it's around Dafhei or so, Dafhei, Hayamid base, Dalamid base. So the Gemara says that Shmuel aged very quickly. Shmuel aged very quickly. So even though he was only 52 when he died, but he looked old. And he seemed old. And he probably felt old. Why was that? The Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that really the time for David HaMelech to become the king had arrived. Shaul was the king, right? Or hadn't arrived yet, but it was arriving. And the time for David HaMelech to be the king was very soon. Shaul only ruled for a couple of years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to kill Shaul or to take Shaul when Shmuel was still alive. Why? Because this was Shmuel's work. Shmuel was the one who anointed Shaul. So to take Shaul and to kill Shaul while Shmuel is still alive is a slap in the face to Shmuel. So Hashem didn't want to do that. So what are you going to do? David HaMelech has to become the king, though. You got to take Shaul. You can't kill Shmuel young, because then people will say, Shmuel must have not been such a great guy. Look, he died when he was 52. Right? He must have been a Rasha. He must have done something wrong to deserve that untimely death. And therefore, says the Gemara, Zikna Kafza Allah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace, and Shmuel aged very quickly. So even though he was only 52, but he seemed much, much older. Something along those lines. And when Shmuel died, people didn't think, he's so young. Why? Because they looked at him and he looked old. Right? So, it makes sense. He's dying. He's an old man, even though he wasn't really that old. But that's what the Gemara says. So that's how many of the Mefarshim understand this. Vani zakanti vasafti. Right? I'm old. And I'm old, and I'm even older, meaning that he got old very quickly. He got old very quickly.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
But by Shmuel advising the people and Shaul how to conduct themselves, isn't he in a way undermining the king, the new king, by telling him how to conduct himself?
I don't think so, because again, keep in mind, Shmuel is the one who anointed the new king. So even though you're right, you know, Shaul is the king, but at the same time, you know, Shaul looks up to Shmuel. Shmuel's the Navi. You know, he's the Gadol Hador. He's the one who brought Shaul, you know, even into the picture. it's like Lahavdil. You know, you have an athlete, you know, who becomes a superstar. So he's still Machshiv, you know, his original coach. You know, or the person that taught him the skills, even though maybe he surpassed them, you know, in terms of his abilities now and his fame. But he's still Machshiv, that coach that he had, or the, you know. So here too, you know, Shmuel was, Lahavdil was Shaul's coach. You know, so he still had a lot of respect for him. Now it's interesting. It's, you know, he says also, Uvanai hinam itchem, that my sons are here with you. What does that mean? What does that mean, my sons are here with you? So the Mitzudas David says, I'm sorry, the Radak says, my sons are here with you, meaning that if you need me, if you need, you know, the halachos that I have been sharing with you and that I've been paskening shilas and court cases all these years, my sons are trained. I've trained my sons in my ways, so they know. They know the halachos. They know what to do. The Malbim understands this in a little bit of a different way. The Malbim understands that Shmuel is trying to convince them that he's not after the Malucha. I don't think that I'm saying this now because I want to rule. I don't want to rule. Number one, I'm old, right? I'm old. Right? I don't have any more strength to rule the people the way that Shaul is going to do. Right? So that's number one. Number two, the king is established. He's established. No one's undoing that now. Right? That's really how the pasuk starts. Number one. Number two, I'm old. Number three, Uvonai hina mitchem, as the Malbim says, my sons are not so special. My sons are just like you. They're like everyday people. So don't think that I'm in this because I want my sons to be the king. That's not the case. And he says, "Vani salachti lifnechem minu urai arayam azeh." I worked faithfully, you know, from the time that I was a child until now. As the Mitzudas David says, you know me. Remember, Shmuel was the one who was mistovev in every city. He would go from this city to that city, judging cases, paskening shilas, giving advice. Everybody knew him. They knew him to be a very honest person. So he's saying, you know, don't think that I'm in this for me. Don't think that I'm saying this because I want to be the king, because I want to be the leader. I have no interest, right? I'm just saying this for your good. That's why I'm saying this. Yeah.
It sounds like from the process, that I would think, you know, that he's saying it's also an affront to my two sons.
So that's what the Mefarshim don't understand it that way. They don't understand that it's an affront to the sons, because look at what he says. Uvanai hinam itchem. He's saying, my sons are with you. What does that mean, my sons are with you? So the Mefarshim understand, my sons are with you, meaning that they're not deserving of any chashuv, of any chashuv of position. They're regular people, right?
He's protecting his sons, but because, you know, they didn't listen and they had all these problems with different kingdoms and issues and wars and whatnot, and they didn't behave. You know, that's why we got a king. And he was older and he couldn't do it anymore. And he said, my children are not protecting them. I'm not getting them involved.
That could be. That could be also, yeah. Right, that could be. That could be. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Hineni anuvi, says Shmuel, answer me. Neged Hashem and neged Mishicho. Right? Answer me in front of Hashem, in front of the Mashiach. Who's the Mashiach? Mashiach doesn't mean the Mashiach that we talk about. Mashiach means the anointed one. So here he's referring to Shaul. He's referring to the king who was anointed. Because he's focusing on the fact that he's Mashicho, that he's the anointed one of Hashem. Hashem selected Shaul, right? So say it. But if you have something to say, say it now, says Shmuel. Say it now in front of Hashem. Say it now in front of Shaul, who is anointed by Hashem. As shor mi lakachti, whose ox did I take? Vachamor mi lakachti, whose donkey did I take? Yes, mi ashakti, who did I oppress? Esmi ratzosi, to question exactly what the word ratzosi means. Some of Farshim understand that ratzosi is from the language of ratzutz, like crushed. You know, who did I? It's almost like a stronger language. Ashakti is to oppress, and ratzutz is like even a stronger language of oppression. Some understand the Radak quotes Chazal that ratzosi is from the language of ratzon. He was saying that I didn't take anyone's money by force, and I didn't take it willingly, right? I didn't, even if you gave it to me willingly, I didn't take it. I didn't take anything. Umiyad mi lokachti kofer. From whom did I take any sort of payment? The alim einai bo, which would cause me to cover my eyes from the true justice, which would pervert my judgment. The ashiv lachem, I'll give it back to you right now, right? Tell me if I've done something wrong, I'll give it back to you. He's cleaning his slate. As he, again, this is the end of Shmuel's life. He wants a clean slate. I didn't do anything wrong. You know me, right? I'm 100% honest. It's interesting. The Malbim says here that he's going from the most chamor, from the most strict, right? As shor mi lakachti, whose ox did I steal? That's like the most obvious and blatant type of thievery. All the way down to things that are not as strong and not as severe. And he's saying, I didn't do anything. Some of the Mefarshim say that the chamor mi lakachti, he says he was entitled to a chamor. Why was he entitled to a chamor? Company car. Exactly, company car. He's traveling all over Eretz Yisrael to help Bnei Yisrael, to judge Bnei Yisrael. Right? So really, he deserves a company car. He deserves a donkey to help him on his travels. And he says, even that I didn't take. Even the donkey that I was entitled to for my traveling, I did not take. I used my own donkey. I didn't take anything. I used my own. We lane this, by the way, we lane this perek in Shmuel as the Haftorah. I forget for which parsha now. Korach? Because there also Moshe Rabbeinu says the similar language in Parshas Korach that, I forget the exact language. Shomi Lakachti. You have it there? Yeah. Right, Moshe says the same thing to Bnei Yisrael. You know, I didn't take anybody's stuff. I'm innocent. And Shmuel's now saying the same. And that's why we learned that Haftorah, that Parshas Korach. Thank you. Thank Art Scroll. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem for Art Scroll. Pasuk Dalid. Vayomru. So they respond. Lo Ashaktonu. They said, no. You're 100% innocent, right? You did not take anything. You never oppressed us. You never pressed us for any money. V'lo Ratzo Sanu. You didn't force us to take anything. V'lo Lokachtam Yadish Me'uma. You didn't even take a morsel, nothing. Says the Malbim, you didn't even take a gift. Even things that we tried to give you as a gift, you wouldn't take it, right? Probably because of the pasuk Sone Matanos Yichye, as it says in Mishlei, a person who despises gifts will live. Maybe also because he wanted to maintain his absolute impartiality. Exactly. But even things that, you know, even if it's not bribery, imagine, you know, somebody who doesn't even have a court case with him, you know, who just wants to give him something, give him a gift. He wouldn't take it. Never. Why? So presumably because he wanted to maintain 100% impartiality, maybe this guy will ask him a shayla once and then he'll feel indebted to him. Maybe this person will appear in a court case and then he's going to, in the back of his mind, he's going to say, oh, you know, he gave me that gift one time, right? Now again, there's nothing wrong with taking a gift. If it's bribery, that's terrible. But it's not a gift, a regular gift. Someone wants to give Shmuel a gift. He's the Navi. You want to give him a gift? There's nothing wrong with that. But afal piche, right? That's what we keep seeing. Even the things that he was entitled to, even the things where there was nothing wrong with him taking it, he still never took it. He still never took it. I mean, nowadays, right? All the politicians get in trouble because they, you know, they got a gift from here, a gift from there. They use the they use the taxpayers' money for this. They use the private jet for that, right? So they're all getting in trouble for all these things. Shmuel, even the things that he was entitled to, he wouldn't touch. That's how careful he was. Vayomer aleihem. So Shmuel says to them, Eid Hashem bochem. Hashem should be an aid, should be a witness In what you're saying, that what you're saying is correct. The Ein Mashiach Hayom Hazeh, and his Mashiach, his anointed one, Shaul, the king, should be a witness today as well. Kilometzasem biyadi meuma, that you didn't find anything in my hands that I owe. I don't owe anybody anything. Vayomer eid. Now all the Mefarshim struggle. What's the Vayomer? Vayomer is in the singular. It should say Vayomru. Like as the Pasuk says, Vayomer Aleihem, Shmuel's talking to Bnei Yisrael. So if they're responding, it should say Vayomru Eid. So there are three approaches in the Mefarshim. Oh, so Rashi quotes the Gemara in Makos that says that this is one of the three places where a Baskol came out and the Baskol declared aid. Kadosh Baruch Hu was announcing, I'm an aid. Just like he started out the sentence, right? Vayomer Aleihem, Eid Hashem Bachem. That Hashem is an aid. Hashem affirmed. He says, yes, aid. I'm an aid. I'm a witness to this. Nothing. He doesn't have anything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
So the other Mefarshim, the Radak understands that this was the response of the people. They responded, but since they all responded together, they all said aid. So therefore, that's why it says Vayomer. They all said it like Bevas Achas. They all said it together. They said aid. Like in Har Sinai, Ki Shechar B'Lev Echad. Excellent. Right? That's the Pshat. That's the Pashup Pshat. And then the Mitzudas David says that maybe this was Shaul. Like maybe this was Shaul who was saying, because remember in the beginning he says, Eid Hashem b'chevi Eid Meshicha. So maybe this is the Meshicha. Maybe this is Shaul HaMelech, who's the anointed one. He's the one who's saying, Eid, that I'm a witness to this. If you go with the approach that it was HaKadosh Baruch who's saying Eid, so the Medrash says that what's HaKadosh Baruch who's saying here? Hashem is announcing to the people, you know, the things that are revealed. You know what's out in the open that Shmuel never took anything. But I can tell you, even from the things that are hidden. I can tell you even from the things that are quiet, that are hidden, that no one else knows about. And even there, Shmuel's 100% innocent. Even there, he doesn't have an item. He doesn't have a penny that doesn't belong to him. Says the Malbim, Shmuel did not even take payment. Again, the same idea, what he was entitled to, right? He was entitled to a donkey, he didn't take it. He was entitled to accept presents from people, he didn't take it. Says the Malbim, Ki lo mitzasim biyadi me'uma. There's nothing in my pocket from you. Shmuel did not take a penny. He didn't take a salary, which he was entitled to. Shmuel was the Navi, he was entitled to have a salary, right? You know, who's going to feed his, who's going to put bread on his table? He's working for Klal Yisrael. He's entitled to a salary. Shmuel did not even take a salary. He didn't take a penny. He didn't take anything. How did he make a living? I'm not sure. Right? But he didn't take anything from Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to be indebted. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Shmuel El Ha'om, Hashem Asher Oses Moshe V'Yesaro, V'Asher Helos Avoseichem Yeretz Mitzrayim. So, the Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made Moshe and Aaron. What does it mean that Hashem made Moshe and Aaron? It was part of Shmuel's speech. Right? What does it mean he made Moshe and Aaron? So Rashi says he made them fit to be the messengers of Hashem to bring Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Right? The Radak says you raised them. You taught them. Says the Targum Yonasan, you made wonders. You made Nisim v'Niflos through Moshe and Aaron. So that's the case. The Malbim says here also that he was saying Hashem. Asher Oses Moshe. Hashem is the one who just said aid. You just heard that voice aid, that said witness. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was proclaiming that I'm as righteous as Moshe and Aaron. Just like Moshe and Aaron were righteous. And he made them righteous. I'm also righteous. Pasuk Zayin. V'yata yisyatzvu v'ishavta itchem lifnei Hashem. And now, stand up. Yisyatzvu. Right, like Nitzavim, stand up straight. He shafta eschem lifnei Hashem. and I'll judge you. I'll judge you, and I'll be judged with you together in front of Hashem. Ace called Sidko Hashem Asher Osa Yitchem Ve'esav Osecha. You see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, how much good HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And what did we do? We repaid him with bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does good, and we give him bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does wonderful things for Klal Yisrael, and we do not reciprocate. Says the Malbim, this is the pasuk where now Shmuel is shifting gears. And he's no longer rebuking them for his own kavod. Now he's beginning to rebuke them for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod. V'yata yisyatvu v'yishofta yitchem lifnei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only did good. He didn't do anything wrong to you. So why are you throwing off the yoke of heaven? Why are you throwing off the Malchus Shemayim? And then now you want to, you know, an individual, a basar v'adam. Right.
He's
rebuking them because at the end of the day they asked for a melech. So he's now taking them to task. Yeah. Pasuk Ches, Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, Vayizaku avoseichem el Hashem. What happened? You cried out to Hashem. Your ancestors cried out to Hashem. Vayishlach Hashem es Moshe v'Aaron. So Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron. Vayotziu es avoseichem in Mitzrayim. And he took you out of Mitzrayim. Vayoshivu b'makom hazeh. And he placed them in this place, meaning he brought them to Eretz Yisrael. So what's going on here? What is this, a history lesson? Right? Why is Shmuel getting into Yitzias Mitzrayim now? Well, what is this supposed to mean? So the Mefarshim say that, and the Malbim especially says this, you've been in trouble before. Mitzrayim. Shibur Mitzrayim, you were in trouble, right? How'd you get out of trouble? Somebody was oppressing you, how'd you get out of it? Vayizaku avoseichem el Hashem. You cried out to Hashem. And what did Hashem do? Vayishlach Hashem es Moshe v'yasaru. Hashem, listen to your tfilos. You did tshuva, you cried out to Hashem. Hashem listened to your tfilos, and he sent you Nevi'im, Moshe and Aaron. And they took you out of Mitzrayim. And now you're in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So Shmuel looks at Bnei Yisrael and he says, what was wrong with that system? What was wrong with that system? You do something wrong, Hashem's going to punish you. Now you do tshuva, you cry out to Hashem, Hashem saves you. He sends you a Navi and he saves you. So what was wrong with that? Then now you have to come to a whole new system called a king. What do you need a king for? Right? Throughout all of Jewish history until now, you didn't have a king and everything was fine. Whenever you were in trouble, you cried out to Hashem and he saved you. He did tshuva and he saved you. He sent you Nevi'im. So why do you need a king? Why do you have to change the system? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? There's nothing wrong here. This was a very fine system. Why does he mention Yaakov? It's interesting. Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim. Yaakov doesn't say Bnei Yisrael. Why does he focus on Yaakov? So the Malbim says, because the Golos Mitzrayim was different than all the other Golios. Well, that's true. But all the other Golios, we ended up in Golos because of our sins. When it came to Mitzrayim, we didn't end up in Mitzrayim because of our sins. We ended up in Mitzrayim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained in the Bris Ben Abesarim, Ki Geri Azarach Be'eretz Lo Lahem, that we're going to be strangers in this strange land. And that's going to be the Korah Barzah that's going to develop the house of Yaakov into Bnei Yisrael. So this was the divine plan. That's why it says Kasher Bo Yaakov Mitzrayim. It's not because it's focusing on the fact that this was divinely orchestrated. But nevertheless, it was still difficult. Mitzrayim still oppressed us. Now it's interesting because the pasuk says Vayosh at the end, Vayoshivum Bamakom Hazeh, which sounds like it sounds like Hashem placed Moshe and Aaron in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Radak, Moshe and Aaron didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. So what's Vayoshivum, that he placed them, implying Moshe and Aaron, B'makom Hazeh? So the Radak has a beautiful vort, a beautiful idea here, where he says that even though Moshe and Aaron never made it into Eretz Yisrael, But since they taught Bnei Yisrael how to follow Hashem, since they taught Bnei Yisrael before they died how to listen to Hashem, how to follow in Hashem's ways, so now when Bnei Yisrael made it into Eretz Yisrael and they're following that advice, it's as if Moshe and Aaron are with them. It's as if Moshe and Aaron are with them in Eretz Yisrael. Beautiful. It's almost like it reminded me of the story with Yosef HaTzadik, who's about to commit a sin. And he sees his father's image, Dimus Dukno, Shal Aviv. That's what it is. Bnei Yisrael are traveling through Eretz Yisrael from one state to another. They're hearing the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. They're hearing the voice of Aaron HaKohen, guiding them, teaching them, telling them what to do, what not to do, how to live a life of Torah, how to live a life that's dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. Such a beautiful idea. The way that we can stay with our children and our grandchildren is by teaching them the way of Hashem, teaching them what it means to make good decisions, what it means to be people that are committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we're with them. We stay with them. The Radak doesn't say this, but I think maybe this is really the motivation of Shmuel. This is what he's doing. He's about to die. He's giving them a little mussar at the end to try to teach them and leave them with a legacy, leave them with ideas of how you're supposed to be going forward. Listen, you messed up here, you botched this, but let's go on, let's be on the straight and narrow going forward. Let's do the right thing going forward. Let's stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu going forward, just like Moshe and Aaron taught the lessons to Bnei Yisrael that they carried with them into Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel wants to teach Bnei Yisrael the lessons that they're going to carry with them into the period of the Malachim. This is a whole new era. Think about it, right? The king is here to stay. The king is the king. He's here to stay. He's not going anywhere. But now the question is, what do we do with a king? How do we still live, you know, committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a king? Right? So this is a whole new era. We're ending the era of the Nevi'im, so to speak, and we're beginning the period of the Malachim. This is a whole new time. And Shmuel says, just like Moshe and Aaron, now you find, we say also in Tehillim, right, we sing in Kabbalah Shabbos, Moshe v'Aaron b'cha'anav, u'shmuel b'korei shemo. Right, we have these psukim that seem to compare, and here also, Shmuel himself is comparing himself to Moshe and Aaron. What's the comparison? Moshe and Aaron led Bnei Yisrael up to the brink of a new land, up to the brink of a new era. Right? This was Yitzias Mitzrayim, and now we're done, and we're going into Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't cross into Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't their job. That was Yoshua's job. Here too, this is a new era. So Shmuel is leading them up to the edge, up to the brink of the era of the Malachim. He appoints the king, now he's going to die. And now it's going to be a whole new world. A whole new world of Malachim. There will still be Nevi'im, of course, but it's going to be a whole new world of Malachim. Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, a whole new world. How are you going to live like that? How are you going to live connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Musar Shmuz that he's giving now. Right? True. Right? 100%. Pasuk Tes. Vayishkechu es Hashem Elokeichem. Now what happened after Hashem took you out and brought you into Eretz Yisrael? You forgot him. Forgot about Hashem. So what happened? Vayimkoro sam biyat Sisra sar tzva chatzor. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you into the hands of Sisra. Uviyad plishtim, uviyad melech Moav. Vayilocham ubab. You mess up, you sin, you turn your back on Hashem, you forget about Hashem, then Hashem lets your enemies oppress you. Says the Malbim, but Shmuel is also reminding them, but you see that Hashem's Hashgacha never left you. Because as soon as you sin, Hashem punishes you. That's Hashgacha. As soon as you sin, Hashem punishes you. And as soon as you do tshuva, Hashem saves you. So you see it's the Yad Hashem in your life. Correct. Well, he's trying to reinforce this. Pasuk Yud, Vayizaku el Hashem vayomru chatanu. And then what happens again? The cycle, right? You cry out to Hashem, you do tshuva, and you say we sinned. Ki ozavnu es Hashem, because we left Hashem, we forsook Hashem. Vanavodes habeolim ves hashoros, and we worship the avodah zarah. V'yato atzileinu miyad oyveinu v'navdeka. And we say to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, save us from our enemies, and we'll serve you. We'll do tshuva. Says the Mitzudas David, Shmuel is telling them What did you do? Just like in Mitzrayim, you called out to Hashem. Vayizaku el Hashem. Here too, Vayizaku el Hashem. You davened. Don't forget to daven. Don't just look at the Melech when you have a problem and think that he's going to solve all your problems. Do tshuva. Daven. Those are the things that you've done throughout Jewish history, and those are the things that have worked. Don't forget about those things. Pasuk Yud Aleph. And what happened? How did Hashem save you? Vayishlach Hashem es Yerubal. Hashem sent you Yerubal. So if you remember, we have to do a little chazar on Sefer Shoftim. Yerubal is Gidon. That was another name for Gidon. V'yes Bidon. Question who Bidon is. So most of the Mefarshim understand Bidon is referring to Shimshon, who was from Shevet Dan. And even though chronologically he followed Yiftach, because we're about to say V'yes Yiftach, but since Shimshon was greater than Yiftach, so he's listed first. V'yes Shmuel. And Shmuel, right? So Hashem sent you Gidon. Hashem sent you Shimshon. Hashem sent you Yiftach. Hashem sent you Shmuel. And he saved you from all of your enemies, and you were secure. You were fine. Yael. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mention all the. Yeah. Now again, this says in Mesudas David, these weren't kings, right? These were shoftim. They were religious leaders. They were also military leaders, but they were religious leaders. They were shoftim, and they saved you. And they saved you. So again, you don't need the king, right? You don't need a king. You asked for one, but you don't need one. Okay, now why does he refer to himself in the third person as Shmuel? Right? Why doesn't he just say me? He's talking Shmuel, and he says, Ve'a Shmuel. So the Radak says either that's the normal way of speech, or he quotes a Medrash that says that Shmuel was giving a nevuah here. And the Navi sometimes is just giving a nevuah. Whatever Hashem says is just coming out of the Navi's mouth. He's not even thinking about what he's saying. It's Hashem really speaking through the mouth of the Navi. That's why it says Ve'a Shmuel. Because even though he's talking, he doesn't really know what he's saying. It's just the Navi talking. Pasuk Yud Beis. And then you saw that Nachash from Ammon came upon you, and then you turned to me and you said, Lo, ki melechim lo chaleinu. No, now we need a king. But says Shmuel, but Hashem is your king. Hashem is your king. So you were foolish because you turned to me. Right? But you see, Hashem has no problem saving you through a shofet. So what do you need a king for? But you asked for a king. Pasuk Yud Gimel. You asked for it. V'yato hinei ha-melech asher b'chartem. Now, here's the king. Here's the king that you asked for. Asher she'eltem that you asked for. That you chose. And that you asked for. V'hinei nasan Hashem aleichem melech. And Hashem appointed a king upon you. Says the Mitzudas David, what's done is done. This king is here to stay. You were wrong. You made a mistake by asking for the king. But Lemaisa, you asked for the king. Hashem granted your request. Hashem chose him. You saw that. You also saw that he was selected properly. Hashem appointed him. And that's it. He's here. Pasuk Yud Dalet. So what do you do? Imturu es Hashem va'avadatem oso u'shmatem b'kolo. So if you fear Hashem and you serve Hashem and you listen to his voice, below Samru es pi Hashem, and you don't rebel against Hashem. V'yisem gam atem v'gam ha-melech asher molach aleichem achar Hashem elokeichem. Then both you and the king will be following Hashem. Rashi understands this to mean both you and the king will live long. It's like a promise for long life. But the Malbim and the Mitzudas David seem to say that if you fear Hashem and you listen, so then you and the king will follow Hashem, meaning that Hashem will always be leading you into battle. Whenever you go into battle against your enemies, it's going to be Hashem leading the charge. It's going to be Hashem leading the way. You and the king will follow, assuming that you listen, assuming that you fear him. Says the Malbim, that if you listen properly, the king will be an intermediary between you and Hashem. So Shmuel is saying, this is b'di'evet. You should not have asked for a king. But now you did. And now Hashem granted you the king. So let's figure out how to do this in the right way. Let's figure out how you can have a king going forward in the right way by using the king as an intermediary between you and Hashem. You and the king both fearing Hashem, listening to Hashem, and following Hashem out to battle because he's going to save you. And recognizing that in the end of the day, it's Hashem and not the king. Pasuk Tezvav, Imlos Yishmu B'kol Hashem, B'chas V'shalom, if you don't listen to Hashem, Umarisim Espi Hashem, and you rebel against Hashem, then V'haysa Yad Hashem B'chem U'vav O'secha. Then Hashem is going to punish you. What's B'chem U'vav O'secha? So Pashup Shat says Rashi, that first Hashem is going to punish your fathers, your ancestors, and then he's going to punish you. Rashi quotes a Medrash that they'll be punished with some illness that affects even people that have already died. The Radak says maybe the Avosechem refers to the king. Maybe the Avosechem refers to the dead and they'll have to be disinterred. What's the sorts of different pshatim here? Tez Zayin, just finishing up. Gamata nihisyatzvu uru'es hadavar agadol azeh asher Hashem osela einechem. And now, okay, you know what? Let's stop here because Tezayin already starts the next phase of his Musar. So until now, essentially, we've seen that the Shmuel is giving them a whole Musar Shmuz. And the crux, the punchline of the Musar Shmuz is that you messed up because really you've seen throughout Jewish history that when there's a problem, you daven to Hashem. Hashem sends you a Navi and he saves you and you do tshuva and you daven to him. And that system could have continued working had you not asked for a king, but now you asked for a king. Now you asked for a king, the king is here to stay. Let's figure out going forward how you're going to be successful by listening to Hashem, by recognizing that the ultimate Yeshua comes from Hashem and not from the king. And both you and the king can follow in Hashem's footsteps and Hashem will lead you to battle and ultimately to all success. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Going to... you all have a wonderful night.